Anything to declare?
Yeah. Don't go to England.
Willkommen zu einer Spezialsendung, in der wir uns dem Thema Stand-Up-Comedy widmen wollen und zwei große Vertreter des Genres, nämlich Bill Hicks und George Carlin, vorstellen wollen. Wir haben Ausschnitte, sogenannte Routines, der beiden Stand-Up-Comedians aus verschiedenen Shows zwischen 1990 und 2002 ausgewählt und hoffen, euch damit auf den Geschmack zu bringen, selbst mehr über das Genre Stand-Up-Comedy in Erfahrung zu bringen.
I was over in Australia during Easter, which was interesting. Interesting to note, they celebrate Easter the same way we do, commemorating the death and resurrection of Jesus by telling our children a giant bunny rabbit left chocolate eggs in the night. Now, I wonder why we're fucked up as a race. Anybody got any clues out there?
Well, now we have to continue to speak in English, so you get used to what will follow. Hello, my excellent good friends. Christina Colleen on the mic welcomes you to a very special presentation of stand-up comedy. We picked some routines from Bill Hicks and George Carlin, two influential artists whose work has inspired many other comedians throughout the years. Let's start with George Carlin, who is considered the second greatest stand-up comedian of all time behind Richard Pryor.
The Ten Commandments, you know? Yeah, let me tell you. Listen, here's my problem. Why are there ten? You don't need ten. I think the list of commandments was deliberately and artificially inflated to get it up to ten. It's a padded list. Here's what they did. About 5,000 years ago, a bunch of religious and political hustlers got together to try to figure out how to control people, how to keep them in line. They knew people were basically stupid and would believe anything they were told, so they announced that God had given them some commandments. Up on a mountain, when no one was around, God had given them the Ten Commandments. But let me ask you this. When they were sitting around making this shit up, why did they pick 10? Why 10? Why not 9 or 11? I'll tell you why. Because 10 sounds official. 10 sounds important. They knew if it was 11, people wouldn't take it seriously. Say, what, are you kidding me? The 11 commandments? Get the fuck out of here. But 10. 10 sounds important. 10 is the basis for the decimal system. It's a decade. It's a psychologically satisfying number. The top 10, the 10 most wanted, the 10 best dressed. So having 10 commandments was really a marketing decision. And to me, it's clearly a bullshit list. It's a political document artificially inflated to sell better. I'm going to show you how you could reduce the number of commandments and come up with a list that's a little more workable and logical. We're going to start with the first three, and I'll use the Roman Catholic version because those are the ones I was taught as a little boy. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not have strange gods before me. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt keep holy the Sabbath. Right off the bat, the first three, pure bullshit. Sabbath day, Lord's name, strange gods. Spooky language. Spooky language. Designed to scare and control primitive people. In no way does superstitious nonsense like this apply to the lives of intelligent, civilized humans in the 21st century. You throw out the first three commandments, whoosh, you're down to seven. Next, honor thy father and mother. Obedience, respect for authority. Just another name for controlling people. The truth is, obedience and respect should not be automatic. They should be earned. They should be based on the parents' performance. Parents' performance. Right? Some parents deserve respect. Most of them don't. Period. You're down to six. Now, in the interest of logic, something religion is very uncomfortable with, we're going to jump around the list a little bit. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Stealing and lying. Well, actually, these two both prohibit the same kind of behavior. Dishonesty, stealing, and lying. So you don't need two of them. Instead, you combine them and you call it thou shalt not be dishonest. And suddenly, you're down to five. And as long as we're combining, I have two others that belong together. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Once again, these two prohibit the same kind of behavior. In this case, marital infidelity. The difference is coveting takes place in the mind. And I don't think you should outlaw fantasizing about someone else's wife. Otherwise, what's a guy going to think about when he's waxing his carrot? But marital fidelity is a good idea, so we're going to keep the idea and call this one, Thou Shalt Not Be Unfaithful. And suddenly, we're down to four. But when you think about it, honesty and fidelity are really part of the same overall value. So in truth, you could combine the two honesty commandments with the two fidelity commandments and give them simpler language, positive language instead of negative, and call the whole thing, Thou shalt always be honest and faithful, and we're down to three. Thou shalt, they're going away fast. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. This one is just plain fucking stupid. Coveting your neighbor's goods is what keeps the economy going. Am I right? Your neighbor gets a vibrator that plays O Come All Ye Faithful. You want to get one too. Coveting creates jobs. Leave it alone. You throw out coveting and you're down to two now, the big honesty and fidelity commandment, and the one we haven't talked about yet, thou shalt not kill, murder, the fifth commandment. But when you think about it, religion has never really had a big problem with murder. Not really. More people have been killed in the name of God than for any other reason. All you have to do... Shit. All you have to do is look at Northern Ireland, the Middle East, Kashmir, the Inquisition, the Crusades, and the World Trade Center to see how seriously the religious folks take thou shalt not kill. The more devout they are, the more they see murder as being negotiable. It's negotiable. You know? It depends. It depends on who's doing the killing and who's getting killed. So, with all of this in mind, I leave you with my revised list of the two commandments. Thou shalt always be honest and faithful to the provider of thy nookie. And thou shalt try real hard not to kill anyone, unless, of course, they pray to a different invisible man from the one you pray to. Two is all you need. Moses could have carried him down the hill in his fucking pocket. And if they had a list like that, I wouldn't mind those folks in Alabama putting it up on the courthouse wall. As long as they included one additional commandment, thou shalt keep thy religion to thyself. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for coming.
In derselben Tradition wie George Carlin stand Bill Hicks. Bereits 1994, mit 32 Jahren an Krebs verstorben, war Bill Hicks zu Lebzeiten ein Intellektueller mit einer Rock'n'Roll-Attitude. Laut, wild und kompromisslos setzte er sein komisches Talent in Szene. Vom ersten Irakkrieg bis zum Drogenkonsum, von Religion, Abtreibung und Marketing bis zu seinem kaputten Liebesleben. Wenige sind offener und ehrlicher auf der Bühne gestanden als Bill Hicks.
But I've always found religion to be fascinating. Ideas such as how people act on their beliefs. Pro-lifers murdering doctors.
Pro-lifers murdering people.
And it's irony on the base level, but I like it. You know what I mean? It's real basic irony, but still, you can get a hoot. It's a hoot. It's a fucking hoot. You're pro-life and we'll kill your ass. That's what fundamentalism breeds, though. No irony, you see. They take the word literally, you know. Fundamentalist, yeah. Well, once again, I recommend a healthy dose of psilocybin mushrooms. 3 weeks ago, two of my friends and I went to a ranch in Fredericksburg, Texas, and took what Terrence McKenna calls a heroic dose. 5 dried grams. Let me tell you, our third eye was squeegeed quite cleanly. Wow! And I'm glad they're against the law. Because you know what happened when I took them? I laid in a field of green grass for 4 hours going, my God, I love everything. The heavens parted, God looked down and rained gifts of forgiveness onto my being, healing me on every level, psychically, physically, emotionally. And I realized our true nature is spirit, not body, that we are eternal beings, and God's love is unconditional, and there's nothing we can ever do to change that. It is only our illusion that we are separate from God or that we are alone. In fact, the reality is we are one with God, and He loves us. Now, if that isn't a hazard to this country, you see my point. How are we going to keep building nuclear weapons? You know what I mean? What's going to happen to the arms industry when we realize we're all one? It's going to fuck up the economy. The economy that's fake anyway. Which would be a real bummer, you know. You can see why the government's cracking down on the idea of experiencing unconditional love. It's interesting. Isn't it interesting that two drugs that are legal, alcohol and cigarettes, two drugs that do absolutely nothing for you whatsoever, and drugs that grow naturally upon this planet, drugs that open your eyes up to make you realize how you're being fucked every day of your life, those drugs are against the law. Wow. Coincidence? I don't know. I'm sure their motives are pure, but isn't that great? Mushrooms grow on cow turds. I love that. I think that's why you giggle the first hour. It's growing cow turds. Heaven is in a cow's butt. I know where heaven is. Where? In a cow's ass. Oh my God. Lift me up out of this illusion, Lord. Heal my perception that I may know only reality and only you. Stuff like that.
Die Kleinkunstform Comedy wurde in den späten 50er Jahren in Amerika geboren und wird auch als Stegreifkomik oder Stand-up-Comedy bezeichnet. Ein Mann oder Frau bestreitet den Abend, adressiert das Publikum direkt und unterhält es mit One-Linern, humorvollen Geschichten, die oft und gerne auch profan sein dürfen und im besten Fall zu einem komischen zweistündigen Gedankenstrom werden. Gespielt wird an Universitäten, in Nachtclubs und Bars. Mit schwarzem Humor, bissiger Satire, aber auch Publikumsbeschimpfungen explodiert Stand-up-Comedy während der 70er, einer Zeit, in der einige Vertreter der Szene zu echten Stars wurden. Stand-up fand seinen Weg aus Nachtclubs und Theatern in große Konzerthallen und sogar Stadien. Leute wie Richard Pryor und George Carlin traten in die Fußstapfen von Legenden wie Lenny Bruce, der für seine Tiraden in den späten 50ern und 60ern noch direkt von der Bühne weg verhaftet wurde und wurden mit ähnlich bitteren und aggressivem Humor zu Helden eines politisch linksorientierten Publikums.
There are some more people with missing chromosomes who ought to be thrown screaming from a helicopter. Gun enthusiasts, you know? Oh, yeah, I'm a gun enthusiast. Oh, yeah, well, I'm a blowjob enthusiast. You want to see me shoot? Cock this, and I'll discharge a load for you. And I'm not against guns. I'm not one of those mindless Hollywood cocksuckers. I'm not against guns. I'm not against bullets. I'm not even against people shooting each other. Shit, shooting somebody's part of the American dream. I don't care who it is. Parents, teachers, kids, fuck them. Let them get shot. Doesn't bother me. But speaking of mindless Hollywood cocksuckers, before Charlton Heston became president of these dickless lunatics in the NRA, they had a different guy. He's still one of their major spokesmen. His name is Wayne LaPierre. What kind of a name for a gun nut is Wayne LaPierre? Doesn't this sound a little fruity to you? Hi, I'm Wayne. I'm a gun person. Bang, bang! You know what this prick's name ought to be? Biff Webster. Spud Crowley. A man's name. Chuck Steak. Yeah.
A lot of Christians wear crosses around their necks. You think when Jesus comes back, he ever wants to see a fucking cross? Kind of like going up to Jackie Onassis with a little sniper rifle pendant, you know. Hey, Jackie, just thinking of John.
And just to wind up this little group of complaints, finally, this is a group of social criminals. These people in the space program, nassholes, I call them. In case you haven't heard, the latest disaster for the rest of the universe is that the United States is going to go to Mars. Okay? Oh, yeah. We're going to go to Mars. And then, of course, we're going to colonize deep space with our microwave hot dogs and plastic vomit, fake dog shit and cinnamon dental floss and lemon-scented toilet paper and sneakers with lights in the heels. And all these other impressive things we've done down here. But let me ask you this. What are we going to tell the Intergalactic Council of Ministers the first time one of our teenage mothers throws her newborn baby into a dumpster, huh? How are we going to explain that to the space people? How are we going to let them know that our ambassador was only late for the meeting because his breakfast was cold and he had to spend half an hour punching his wife around the kitchen? Now, what are they going to think when they find out it's just a local custom that over 80 million women in the third world have had their clitorises forcibly removed in order to reduce their sexual pleasure so they won't cheat on their husbands? Can't you just sense how eager the rest of the universe is for us to show up? Can't you see them out there?
I personally do not believe in burning the flag. It's a personal belief, but I'll tell you something. I think people are overreacting. Oh, just a little bit. Hey, buddy, my daddy died for that flag. Well, I bought mine. Sorry. You know, they sell them at Kmart for $3. You're in, you're out, brand new flag. No violence was necessary. Hey, buddy, My daddy died in the Korean War for that flag. What a coincidence. My flag was made in Korea.
Hicks ist saukomisch, keine Sekunde trocken oder akademisch. Trotzdem will er nicht nur unterhalten. Nein, er sieht sich als ein Man on a Mission und macht sich durch seine mangelnde Bereitschaft, Kompromisse einzugehen, bei den Networks der amerikanischen Fernsehwelt, in der er ab 1984 beginnt, langsam Fuß zu fassen, nicht nur Freunde. Nach 11 erfolgreichen Auftritten bei David Letterman wird sein 12. Auftritt dort, der kurz vor seinem Tod stattfindet, im letzten Moment aus der Show geschnitten. Ein persönlicher Tiefschlag für ihn. Er verleiht seinem Unverständnis darüber in einem 32-seitigen Brief an die Produzenten Ausdruck. Zu einer Aussprache kommt es nicht mehr.
I'm so sick of arming the world and then sending troops over to destroy the fucking arms. You know what I mean? We keep arming these little countries, then we go and blow the shit out of them. We're like the bullies of the world, you know? We're like Jack Palance in the movie Shane, throwing the pistol at the sheepherder's feet. Pick it up. I don't want to pick it up, mister. You'll shoot me. Pick up the gun. Mister, I don't want no trouble, huh? I just came downtown here to get some Hard Rock candy for my kids, some gingham for my wife. I don't even know what gingham is, but she goes through about 10 rolls a week of that stuff. I ain't looking for no trouble, mister. Pick up the gun. You all saw him. He had a gun.
Well, I tell you, politics does make for strange bedfellows. That's true, man. I read a quote in the paper 2 days after the election from Saddam Hussein, and he said, well, they had to wait 2 days to get a quote from him, you know. They had to wait for him to quit gut laughing. Some bunker in Baghdad, you know.
The elephant is dead.
Saddam Hussein says in this quote, "We have nothing against America. We just want to see George Bush beheaded and his head kicked down the road like a soccer ball." And I was thinking, that's so weird, because that's what I wanted to see. Wow, me and Hussein, we're like this. Who would have thunk it? He's a Hitler. You know, they find out, you know, Bush has been selling weapons to Iraq since whenever, and we knew that. I knew that during the Persian Gulf War. Those intelligence reports would come in. Iraq, incredible weapons. Incredible weapons. How do y'all know that? Well, we looked at the receipt.
Der New Yorker George Carlin, der im Mai 70 Jahre alt wird und als Radio-DJ begonnen hat, konzentriert sich mit seinen Beobachtungen auf Sprache, Psychologie, Religion und natürlich jede Menge Tabuthemen. Eine Radiosendung von ihm, Seven Dirty Words, wurde 1978 zum Gegenstand eines Verfahrens beim Obersten Gerichtshof, wo mit einer knappen Mehrheit von 5-4 entschieden wurde, dass die zuständigen Behörden derartige Programme von der Ausstrahlung zurückziehen dürfen. Die Affäre steigerte seinen Bekanntheitsgrad nichtsdestoweniger enorm. Er war der erste Host der legendären Sendung Saturday Night Live im Oktober 1975. Sein letztes Programm, betitelt I Kinda Like It When A Lot Of People Die, musste wegen dem Hurricane Katharina umgeschrieben werden. Der Atheist Carlin, der unter anderem die Religion Frisbee-Terrianismus gegründet hat, behauptet, dass im Falle seines Todes seine Seele auf ein Hausdach geschleudert wird, um für immer dort zu bleiben. Außerdem hat er wiederholt betont, dass er sowohl an die Sonne glaube, die er ja immerhin sehen könne, als auch an den Schauspieler Joe Pesci, der seine Gebete mit derselben 50-prozentigen Erfolgsquote erhören würde wie Gott.
Zero, nothing. I tell you, the fuck. He says, no, you're gonna tell me something today, tough guy. I said, all right, I'll tell you something. Go fuck your mother. Bing, pow, boom, bing. You saw the paper, Anthony, my head was up like this. So now I'm coming around, you know. I start to come out of it. Who do I see in front of me? This big prick again. He says, oh, what do you want to tell me now, tough guy? I said, Bing, what are you doing here? I thought I'd tell you to go fuck your mother. I thought he was going to shit.
Here are some more men who ought to be strapped to a gurney and castrated with fishing knives. White guys who shave their heads completely bald. You know? They're so ashamed they lost 11 hairs, they're going to try to turn it into some kind of a masculine statement. I say, hey, you goofy-looking, baldy-headed fuck. Looks good on black guys. On you, it's ugly, repulsive, and disgusting. You want to be bald? Do what I did. Wait a while. Meantime, there's no excuse for running around looking like a freshly circumcised dick.
By the way, if anyone here is in marketing or advertising, kill yourself. Thank you. Just planting seeds. Planting seeds is all I'm doing. No joke here. Really, seriously, kill yourself. You are no rationalization for what you do. You are Satan's little helpers. Kill yourself, kill yourself, kill yourself now. Now, back to the show. Seriously, I know the market people, there's going to be a joke coming up. There's no fucking joke. Suck a tailpipe, hang yourself, borrow a pistol from an NRA buddy, do something, rid the world of your evil fucking presence. Okay, back to the show. I don't know. Christianity's the weird one, though. You know, Christianity is such an odd religion, you know. I was raised that way, you know, and you can just suffer for it. You know, the whole image is that, you know, eternal suffering awaits anyone who questions God's infinite love. That's the message, isn't it, that we're brought with? Believe or die. Thank you, forgiving Lord, for all those options.
Ich hoffe, es hat euch Spaß gemacht. Wir werden die Sendung sicherlich wiederholen. Für alle, die mehr über Bill Hicks lesen wollen, hier nun eine Buchempfehlung. Love All the People, ein Taschenbuch mit den besten Auszügen aus seinen Programmen. Wir würden uns über ein reges Feedback von euch freuen. Und wünschen euch noch einen schönen Montagabend. Good night, fellas.
I don't know. Christianity's the weird one, though. You know, Christianity is such an odd religion, you know. I was raised that way, you know, and you can just suffer for it. You know, the whole image is that, you know, eternal suffering awaits anyone who questions God's infinite love. That's the message, isn't it, that we're brought with? Believe or die. Thank you, forgiving Lord, for all those options.
You guys are great. Thank you very much. Good night.